our comfort be. Thyself, our hope, our sole desire. 166.
Chapter that should really exercise us, and we know the whole Word of God is profitable. This is a very chapter replete with instruction and teaching for us, but it's whatever the brethren say.
Verse 1?
Yes.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. For we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Well, the apostle goes on here to outline some of the motives for his untiring zeal and service for God, which would no doubt speak to his detractors who were seeking to question his ministry and his motives. He speaks here of eternal portion that we will have, and here it is in connection with our bodies. He's spoken of a moral transformation in chapter 3 as we behold the Lord, as we look up and see him, we are morally transformed gradually, little by little, as we gaze upon him. That's a moral transformation here. This is a physical transformation. The apostle is speaking here of our bodies when he says, verse 1, our earthly house of this tabernacle, that refers to our bodies that we are presently in. And it's our present condition. And notice it says a tabernacle or a tent. It's something temporary. And if through all the persecutions that Paul suffered, sometimes near death, bonds and afflictions abide me in every city, and he had the sentence of death in himself, if that happened, then if the earthly tabernacle was dissolved, that is, if he passed through the article of death, he had a building of God. That is the glorified body, a new condition that he would enter into, a building of God, a house not made with hands. That was something permanent, eternal in the heavens. Doesn't mean that that body is waiting there in heaven, but it means that that would be his destiny. He would be in heaven with the Lord. So that building of God is the glorified body that he was looking forward to. He had the absolute assurance of it. He says, we know that was not through experience, but that was through a divine revelation. He had the certainty, and so do we, of salvation of our souls, but also the salvation of our bodies. So there was no doubt in his mind about his condition if he was called on to leave this world. Might just say in passing that Scripture doesn't speak about having a new body. I mean, that's often spoken of. It's not really accurate. We're going to have a glorified body. The same body that we have now, transformed, changed into the very likeness of Christ. Not a new body per se, a new condition, that is true, but not a new body. We're going to have a glorified body. And so the apostle goes on to speak of these conditions. The glorified body, eternal in the heavens, is the future of the believer. And then we will have our redemption complete. We have the redemption of our souls now through the work of Christ. We do not have the redemption of our bodies yet. Salvation spoken of in three ways, past, present, and future. So the full redemption is not yet enjoyed, as it will be when we receive our glorified bodies.
The thought of the changed body supports the truth of resurrection, doesn't it? Because if it was a new body, it would be possible to have a new body apart from resurrection. But it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. These bodies will be changed to be fashioned like his own body of glory. And I appreciate what you say about the language of faith is one of certainty. You know, you talk to people and they say, well, you're always talking about believing this and believing that, but you don't know for sure. But I notice here in reading through this chapter 4 and 5 how the Apostle Paul, he uses this word K-N-O-W. And sometimes he says, knowing. In chapter 4 and 14, he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now he starts the chapter here in 5. We know. And then The language is continued as we read down through the chapter here. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so on. Verse 11, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. So I might have missed one or two. But the point here is that we're reading factual information. And, you know, you go into a library or a bookstore, and sometimes you see the shelves are marked with the label that says fiction. Well, you realize that if you pick up a book off the fiction shelf, it's something that's written. It might be based on fact, but much of it's not true. You go to another shelf, and it says nonfiction. So you pick off a book, and maybe it's an almanac. And there in that almanac, you have dates. You have history, that which has happened. And it's there in factual information. And so, you know you're reading facts. But the Word of God, I believe, is nonfiction. And we can read it with confidence, knowing that we're reading facts. Now, if a mere man writes something about the future, you would have to question whether he knows what he's talking about. And we have read books, perhaps in school. I remember reading one book. It was called 1984. I believe it was by Orwell. And you know, he made so many predictions in that book as to what was going to happen 20 years later. Well, it's interesting that some of these things happened, you might say, in a way, but there was so much there that never did happen. But here we're reading about the future, and the Apostle Paul writes with assurance because he knows that he's received a revelation from God, and the fact is that we're going to, after leaving this world and these tabernacles that we dwell in the earth or on the earth, are going to be dissolved. But we got a house, it tells us here, a building of God, it's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and so on. And he goes on to describe the future of the believer when he leaves this world. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to, by faith, lay hold of this and enjoy it. And know that it's going to happen.
It doesn't mean that every person will pass through the article of death. In fact, that is not the hope of the believer. The apostle says here, verse 4, not for that we would be unclothed, because that's not the hope of the believer, death. It may occur. It has occurred in many cases. Loved ones right here of our brethren have passed away. They are consciously in the presence of the Lord with unhindered enjoyment of his person, communion, but not clothed. They do not have their glorified body. They're in a brighter waiting room. And the believer in this body, we groan. As we get older, the aches and pains and there's death and decay and disease in our bodies now because we're still connected with this groaning creation. We don't have a glorified body now. We groan in this, not grumble as our brother brought out, And it's groaning here not because we are uncertain of the future, not because we want something that we don't have. That's not the groan here of being unsatisfied or longing for something else. The groan here is because our bodies at the present time hinder us from the full enjoyment of Christ. There are detractions with the body. There's two things we will not have in the glory. I think we've often been reminded of this. We won't have the old nature, thank God, that causes us so much problem down here. And we won't have this body of humiliation. It's not really correctly termed a vile body. It's a body of humiliation because it's always humbling the believer. And that's part of God's discipline with us. But in this we groan. That means in this body we are still connected with this groaning, this corrupted creation. We're part of it. And we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Well, that's the glorified body that the believer will have. That's the hope that we have. Not death, not the undertaker, but the upper taker. And so the apostle knew that if that occurred, if he did pass through death, that he would have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. At least that was the future he was looking onto. But when he speaks about mortality being swallowed up of life, verse 4, then he's looking for the rapture. That is, if the rapture took place, immediately in a twinkling of an eye, the body would be changed into Christ's likeness. Mortality would be swallowed up. We'd never pass through the article of death at all. And that's what the apostle was bringing before the saints here. Clothed upon. Immediately, all the Old Testament saints who have died in faith, and we who remain on the earth, all our loved ones who have passed away, immediately would be raised from the dead and changed into Christ's likeness. In fact, the translation is not exactly correct here. Verse 6, at home in the body, is not really a correct translation. It should be present in the body. This is not our home. This is not our permanent dwelling place. Home really is when we get the glorified body.